Welcome to the latest edition of the IWA podcast. I'm Rhea Stevens, Policy, Projects and External Affairs Manager at the IWA, and I'm joined today by Owen Hathaway, Wales Policy Officer for the NUT Cymru, Natasha Davis, Policy and Research Lead at Chwarae Teg, and Amy Bainton, Communications Advisor at FSB Cymru. So, we've had the manifestos from both the UK and the Welsh parties. Owen, what's your initial reflection now that we have all the manifestos?
I think at a UK level, my first reaction was that the two main parties at least sort of reflected the political climate. It was almost as if it seemed inevitable there was going to be a Tory landslide. So Labour chucked the kitchen sink at theirs with a sort of Jeremy Corbyn dream ambition manifesto of renationalisation of many utility companies. And so these things that you would never have seen under the new Labour era. The Conservatives, perhaps reflecting on the fact that they also thought they were going to have a landslide, came up with policies such as changes to the national insurance, ending the triple lock on pensions, even making fox hunting a priority, stuff that in any other political climate that would be nowhere near the manifestos that they were put before the electorate. I think that reflected the confidence of one in success and one in failure. But what's quite interesting is actually the fallout of those manifestos has suddenly made this somewhat of an interesting election. I don't necessarily think it's going to change the fact that the Conservatives are going to win and relatively handsomely, but certainly we're in a much more precarious state for the Conservatives today than we were 2 weeks ago. And I think that's largely because of the impact of those manifestos. Labour's being relatively well received publicly, even though Jeremy Corbyn as a leader perhaps isn't, his policies have been. And there's been, I think, a lot of negative reaction to the Conservatives that perhaps they hadn't even anticipated themselves. In a Welsh context, I think it's really difficult for any political party here to stand on a non-devolved issues, especially when we had an assembly election only a year ago and they're still working through those manifestos. So we've seen a lot of rehashing of things, which is probably to be expected. But at the same time, somewhat disingenuous that we've had a lot of devolved policies put forward with the electorate when ultimately any MP that's voted in is not going to have any influence over anyway.
Natasha, what's your take on that? We've seen a mix, particularly in the Welsh manifestos, of devolved and non-devolved policies. So we've got ideas being presented which a UK government will have no power to implement. I mean, what's your take on that? Do you agree that it's disingenuous, or is it fair enough to present the bigger picture?
I understand why the parties do it to a certain extent. We have to accept there's still a lot of not necessarily full understanding amongst the general public about what sits with the Welsh government and what sits with the UK government. But I don't think it's necessarily all that helpful to have both a Welsh and a UK manifesto, particularly of the length that they are for the main parties. To expect the general public to engage with one manifesto of that length is probably optimistic, never mind two. I think it's quite difficult then for voters to be going to the polls and to be making a really informed decision about who they're voting for.
Just as one example, I mean, Labour at the UK level are promising to scrap tuition fees, something I would support. But ultimately, if you went to the polls in Wales and voted because you wanted that policy, and you had Labour representation, it doesn't actually change the fact that Labour in Cardiff Bay will ultimately make that decision for their own students in Wales. So there's a real blurred line here, and I think that, as I said, it does make it really difficult for any elector to re-engage with manifestos, something that already it doesn't happen anyway, but to do so with two and often competing within the same parties, that is a real difficult thing to take into the vote.
Amy, what's your take on the balance of devolved and non-devolved issues that seem to have appeared in the Welsh manifestos?
Yes, it's been really interesting that from the outset, you know, when Welsh Labour had its five pledges before it had the manifesto, it was quite widely pointed out that several of them were devolved issues. I think that for the Conservatives, this is a continuation manifesto for them. This is their case to say, come on, let us just carry on the job that you already know we're doing. They're kind of pointing at things they've done well, like the compound semiconductor catapult in Newport, and pledging to just follow through on a promise they already made in the budget last year for more R&D funding. It's nothing new. It's a pretty, you know, straightforward thing of this is what we've done, this is how we're doing it well, and this is what we want to do next time. Welsh Labour equally want an opportunity to point out the great things they've done and things they want to do in the future, and that inevitably leads to looking at things that are devolved. I guess you could say that you know, it's great that they're taking the time to look at what the Welsh issues are, to present the Welsh voters with their very own manifesto, but there is a real issue when the majority of voters aren't going to read a 60, 70 page document to make their mind up, let alone look at two and work out which one applies to them.
Yeah. I was struck on reading the manifestos over the past week or so, actually the amount of commonality that there is between the manifestos in some places, so that there are a lot of big proposals for Wales that are shared. So, for example, the commitment to scrap the seven tolls is you know, that commitment's been made by the Conservatives, Labour and the Lib Dems. I mean, Owen, is there a gap or a dearth of new big ideas?
There probably is, and I think that's more than likely a reflection of the fact that this is a snap election that we not only didn't expect, but we categorically told would not take place. So I think it's fair to say that those parties in Wales are mainly looking at what they proposed last year in the Assembly election. Some of those policies that didn't go across party lines over the past year have become more of a consensus. And that's probably why there isn't a big idea. There just hasn't been time to think through some of those big ideas, to be fair to those political parties. And they've just tried to put together more of a narrative and a theme to what they're standing on, like where they stand on Brexit in general. And sort of it's electioneering by tagline and soundbite at the moment from everyone, to be fair. And I think in terms of demanding big ideas, it's difficult to expect that in such a short time frame.
What about yourself, Tash? Is there anything new and big that stood out to you?
I think when we look at the UK manifestos on non-devolved issues, that's where you really start to see some of the big differences. I was particularly struck by the big shift in language and approach in the Labour Party manifesto around social security. The Conservative manifesto actually, in a shift for themselves as well, actually, quite quiet on the issue, saying they'll continue with universal credit but no other further big scale reforms. Whereas in the Labour Party manifesto, and actually this is a theme that comes through in the Lib Dem and the Green Party manifesto as well, talking about a need for a cultural shift in the way we approach social security, talking about rolling back some of the big cuts and the big reforms that we've had, talking about looking at cuts to the work allowance and universal credit, and in Labour's case, looking at reforming and redesigning universal credit. Now, we know up till now that welfare reforms had a massively disproportionate impact on women. So this sense that we need to have a shift in how we approach social security is very interesting and I think very positive for women in Wales.
Amy, from a business perspective, was there anything in the manifestos that really stood out to you or anything that you felt was perhaps unexpected?
So you've mentioned one already, Seven Bridge Tolls. That's a really big one for FSB Wales members. And it was really impressive to see so many of the parties commit to that. We've been saying for a number of years that the cost of the tolls needs to at the very least come down. So to see the parties commit to scrapping them is great news. And the issue now is when they're going to do this. But also there are some issues that are important because they're not in the manifestos. Things like the Swansea Bay Tidal Lagoon, which has got huge development and regenerative opportunities for Swansea. And some of the parties have stayed very quiet on it, on their manifestos. And it's something that, you know, we need to see these big infrastructure projects start getting the green light. Equally, the North Wales Growth Deal. Again, it's been in some of the manifestos. But these are issues that are coming up with our members because they're not actually being talked about, but they're still massive issues for businesses in Wales.
Owen, what's your take on Amy's point there, that some of the biggest issues actually aren't tackled or aren't reflected in the manifestos? Is that a fair point?
I'm not sure whether I agree with it or not, but I'd say that the big issues that formed the election at the moment for me, or at least seem to form the debate, have been about the Conservative changes to things that they've held fast on in the past, so changes in national insurance, the triple lock, these sort of things which you would never have anticipated they would have changed on, never anticipated there would be such announcements on. So whether those have detracted from the idea that the big issues are not being seen, I'm not sure, and perhaps maybe I've overlooked them because I've been focused more on the sort of negative and positive headlines around things that are in there.
Tasha, both, so three of the parties have come out and sort of explicitly presented their manifestos as programmes for opposition rather than programmes for the government. So both Tim Farron, Neil Hamilton, Leanne Woods have presented their manifestos as, you know, a programme for opposition. I mean, what's your sense of how influential the ideas within the manifestos then become?
That's a very interesting question. I think certainly from a personal perspective, I was quite taken aback when I first read the Liberal Democrat manifesto, and it was quite plainly front and centre, I'm not coming at you with a manifesto for government, but like you say, you know, a strong opposition. And I don't know how helpful it is necessarily. You know, we know turnout's an issue in elections. Like what that approach, how does that inspire people to go out to the polling station and to cast a vote? And I don't know whether it kind of then feeds this sort of self-perpetuating idea then that, you know, the outcome of the general election is a foregone conclusion. And I'm not sure how helpful that sort of overarching message, no matter how accurate it might be based on polling information, I'm not sure how helpful that is for the debate or like I say, for voter engagement, really.
I think in Wales, we've become accustomed to the idea of there's no, even though we're in a situation where Labour dominance has been there because of coalition governments in Wales and because of different compacts that the different parties have had at the Assembly, we've become accustomed to the idea of that everyone's ideas are on the table and everyone can be debated. And I think over the last few years with the Lib Dem coalition in Westminster, that's also been part of the discussion. It seems as if this election, perhaps because those parties have gone out there with this is a programme for opposition, seems the first one for a while that it's been very much a two-party election yet again. A return to that sort of Labour versus Conservatives, even though we're in a situation where Labour are far from a dominant opposition. So that probably does reflect the fact that those other parties have come up in that way, particularly the Lib Dems, who made it categorically clear they wouldn't have any negotiations with Labour or the Conservatives, which really does make quite a redundant position in terms of how they're going to implement their policies. You would at least want to see a situation where if there was no coalition, there was the discussion of how they were going to get them into government.
Amy, what's your take on that, on manifestos being presented as programmes for opposition rather than programmes for government?
I mean, I completely agree with Natasha's point that we've got an issue with voter fatigue. You know, we've had so many national elections, you know, particularly in Wales, we've gone out so many times on big national elections and the local government elections earlier this month that political parties should be thinking seriously about how they motivate their voters and how they get them out. And by saying you're not going to be getting this into government is perhaps sort of the first way to do that. Equally, I guess, you know, it's difficult for Tim Farron to make the case that the Lib Dems are going to form the government and be taken seriously. So perhaps he's chosen pragmatism over aspiration on that one. But it will be interesting to see how that then affects turnout in a couple of weeks' time.
I mean, it's only been a few days since the terrible events in Manchester, since the bombing there. And the latest polls are showing actually that the gap between the two lead parties, the Conservatives and the Labour Party, polled out this morning, one's got them as the gap at 8%, one has got the gap at 5%. I mean, do the ideas in the manifestos matter anymore, or has the entire landscape shifted since the events this week?
It's an interesting one. I think they probably matter less. People are probably thinking about things in more sort of security-minded approach. But not that I want to put the politics into this at all, but I think the natural assumption would be that an issue like this with Theresa May standing on a strong and stable leadership, that people would lend themselves then to think more of the Conservatives. And the polls that are published today suggest that hasn't been the case. I'm not saying that the polling or the electorate are thinking politically around this, but just if you were thinking about it, it doesn't seem to have panned out in that way. But I think you're right to make the point that probably in the fallout of what happened in Manchester, people are delving less into the nitty-gritty of education, health, and they are thinking more about it in terms of policing, perhaps. And that actually might be an issue for Theresa May, who was Home Secretary with a lot of police cuts, of course. So people may change their thinking around that, but I have no idea whether they would actually edge towards Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn in that particular landscape. It really is a difficult one politically to determine where people would go with it, but it potentially could have a huge impact on the election, but we just don't know yet whether it has already or whether it will.
Tash, what's your sense on that? How much airtime do you think manifesto ideas will now get?
I think actually, if you look at this entire sort of election campaign, albeit, you know, obviously it's been quite short, I think actually that sort of the headline policies that are manifestos are, they feel to me like they are cutting through, because we started a snap election campaign where it felt very much that Theresa May wanted to make this the Brexit election. And actually what's been quite quite good is that a lot of other issues have actually been discussed. They've been given airtime, they've been on front pages. And I think that's really important, because the reality is that, that this election is about much more than Brexit. And I think it's quite interesting, although obviously you can't take polling into account, that, you know, since manifestos have come out, we have seen a significant shift in where we are at in the polls. And I think, you know, perhaps in previous elections, the idea of sort of leadership has been more important, perhaps because we've had more charismatic type leaders of parties. I know a lot of people obviously don't see Jeremy Corbyn as a strong leader, but equally I don't think a lot of people respond well to Theresa May as a leader. So perhaps that's encouraging this election debate to be a lot more about the issues rather than personality, which I don't think is a bad thing for our politics, to be honest.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think that's a great point to leave it, focusing on the issues. Thank you for joining me, Owen, Natasha and Amy.